Now rejoice that ye were made sorry, but ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry for a godly matter, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. It wasn't a matter of the brethren Corinth being saved one day and lost when they entered into the sins that are listed in 1 Corinthians. And there are multiple sins that they were a part of. But the letter was written by a loving servant of God who said himself that he was concerned about the tone of the letter, not the tone of the letter, but the message of the letter, and how it would be received by the brethren at Corinth. Would they too go over there and say, this is foolish teaching to us, and reject it? He hoped not, but he was fearful of that. But he was made so thankful and so glad. I rejoice, he says, in this, that you received this word and you did what? You repented. You turned away from that way of life and you began to practice the way of salvation in the Lord. And you'll never repent of that. You'll never be sorry. You'll never turn away from that hope of salvation that you have. Brethren, isn't it wonderful? Can I have an amen somewhere along the way in the process of saying this particular statement? Isn't it wonderful that whatever sins we've been a part of, the Lord's forgiveness is offered to us? Amen. Thank the Lord that he will pardon us. He will forgive us. Is that a foolish thing on the part of God, or a foolish thing to be taught to a fellow man? Or is that a wonderful peace and a wonderful joy to lay down our head at night and thank God for pardoning us of our missing the mark, our sins that have been against his will? Yet the brethren here Corinth are told that they considered this, the Jews that lived there considered it foolishness on the basis that it was not the gift that they wanted to see. It was not the sign they wanted to see. And the Greeks rejected it on the basis it was not after the wisdom of man that they wanted to see. And yet the message was a message of truth. And when they accepted it, they could be saved thereby. And notice the real important point, verse 21, repeated in verse 23. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Those who really accept that message and obey that message. When you and I find ourselves in a study of context in the Bible, we've got to admit that that context is vitally important. Otherwise, we'll stop at Genesis chapter 6 and decide to build us an ark for our salvation today. We have to. If we didn't consider it in the context of Noah and that time, we'd all have to be building an ark today. We'd have a problem, a big problem right off the bat. Who knows what gopher worm it is? You know, who knows if it's the pine, the wood, the cypress, the wood. Who knows what? You know, I know there are those who study the matter, and historically they can maybe think that they know what it may be, but could we with reliance and assurance know that we obey God? Like Noah said in Genesis 6 and 22, he obeyed God in all that God commanded him. Thus did Noah. He got the wood that he was told. He put the door that the Lord told him. The window, the Lord told him. The length, the breadth, the height, the Lord told him. He was a preacher of righteousness. And in 1 Peter 3 and 21, describing Noah's great day of salvation, he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. The like figure in what way? In the way that it is the antitype. It is the antitype. As Noah built the ark and was in that ark of safety when the flood came and he was buoyed up and away from the danger, floating as he was, provided for by the Lord, he in faith and in trust and obedience had found that great blessing of God in the days of the patriarch. And as a result of that, baptism is a life figure. It's an antitype. We are in the water obedient to the Lord. We after the water, obedient to the Lord, following his will, trusting in him to do what he said he would do. He pardons our sin. We begin to walk in newness of life. And as we go along, 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that foolishness on the part of God? Or is that a wonderful blessing that causes us to shed tears, that causes us to bow our heads, that causes us to inwardly rejoice in this great hope? That though I have done wrong, I've sinned, I've done it, I've misbehaved in it, the Lord God of heaven says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Does that sound like I'm saved one day and I sinned and I lost the next? Or does that sound like the Lord wants us to come back to him? Always come back to him. Don't stay in that sin and wrongdoing. In chapter 2 of 1 John, he goes on, and remember the original was not separated by the chapter and verses, done later for the scribal writings, and to be sure as they could be of the truthfulness of their writings, accuracy of their writings. They would check it by the number of the letters and the number of the words to be done, and various chapters would be added. But he continues on after verse 9 in 1 John 1 into chapter 2 and verse 1, as we know. And as a result, the continuation of thought continues on. And he says, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. What ought to be our goal? Don't get into sin. Don't get into missing the mark. Don't get into the words, the mannerisms, the activities of life, the idolatry of life, the worldliness of life. Don't get into that. But if we do, remember one thing. Please remember that one thing, John says. We have an advocate to the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous is that lawyer. And he is the go-between. He's the propitiation. Not only for our sins. We've been people who were in sin. We came into the Lord. We have this wonderful blessing. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. It's not only for us that he's the lawyer, but he wants to be the lawyer for the whole world. All of our friends and family and neighbors. He wants also to be their lawyer. How grateful we are that he loves them. And we behaving in such a way that we'll find ourselves blessed of the Lord. We're hardly following a foolish way. But this is judged by the word at large. In that day, in time, and even in our day. It's been a foolish thing of God to offer hope and salvation to weak and sinful mankind, foolish mankind. And yet that is the very offering that God has given to us. And I remind you once again, as I close tonight, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 1. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of what I've done tonight to save those who really believe. Isn't it a blessing to have this of the Lord in his righteous way? And when our good brother this morning was talking about the various cultures in which Jesus was found, all the circumstances of it. And Jesus, and he went on to say, as he pointed out, that following God's word, obeying God's word is what really needs to be done. And that's what Jesus really did. He didn't get caught up in it because the masses of people were following the traditions of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Herodians or any of the others or the Romans. He was following the word of his heavenly Father. And as he obeyed his heavenly Father and the commandments offered and the teaching that was done, he was faithful and true. And because it was that way, in the Hebrew writers, chapter 1, he tells us about Jesus, that God offered him a name above every name. He followed the heavenly Father's will. result of that, he enjoyed the wonderful blessings that you and I can enjoy as we sing together tonight. Think about our relationship to the Lord, and those who listen to this by way of internet, think about your relationship to the Lord. It's not a foolish way. It is a way of real forgiveness in Christ Jesus.